This episode is brought to you by Vitamin Water. So much of what the world is obsessed with starts out in New York City. It's a place full of style and character that has something for everyone. With a range of flavors to meet any kind of taste, it's no wonder Vitamin Water was born there. Colorful, flavorful, anything but boring. Vitamin Water injects a daily dose of vibrancy into a watered-down life. Grab a Vitamin Water today. Vitamin Water is a registered trademark of Glasso.
Training camps are here. Every day it gets a little closer to football season. Jonathan Zaslow is filling in tonight for Ian Fitzsimmons here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can find him at Zaslow Show. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. So we are getting you ready for NFL season. It feels like we're really kicking into gear here. We have some real NFL stuff to talk about, not just manufactured stuff, as training camps have all been getting going. Let's bring in some help with all things NFL. Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, kind enough to join us. And Coach, thanks so much for your time. I hope you've enjoyed some time off here that you have certainly earned. But now we got to get back to it, because now it's starting to feel like football once again. We were just having a conversation about the Miami Dolphins, where we were talking about why they wouldn't win a Super Bowl if, in fact, they don't win the Super Bowl this year. Obviously, me and Zaslow are huge Dolphins fans, but our producer was making us have this conversation about their weaknesses this season. What do you expect from the Miami Dolphins this season?
Well, I think, quite frankly, they will be much improved on the defensive side of the football, and I think that's going to, you know, that's going to help them, because this is a team last year, as good as they were, especially offense, number one offense in the league, you know, 29 points a game. I mean, they were pretty good. They were fantastic. But defensively, you know, and that sometimes happens when you have a high scoring offense. People feel like when they play you, they have to score points. You know, so when you play the Miami Dolphins, you can't say, "Oh, guys, by the way, we're going to win 17-10. No, we got to, you know, it's a race to almost 30 against these guys. We got to score at least 24 points. We're going to be in this game. So your defense takes on that personality and that barrage of people trying to attack you. So I think their defense will be better. You know, it's the same old deal with the Dolphins. At the end of the day, Can they win and beat good teams? Last year, when you look at them, they were 1-6 against a winning team. Weaker opponent, they were 10-1. So I think that scenario has to change. But this is one of the funnest teams to watch in football. It just is. McDaniels does a nice job of calling plays. They have an outstanding offense. I mean, they're one of the fastest teams on grass in the National Football League. They're fun to watch, but I think they've got to beat good football teams to give them confidence. And if they can do that, look, they're going to be hard to deal with.
Coach Herm, always good to talk to you. Glad you're back here as we can talk NFL football. We're so close. Tua Tagovailoa, Amber made a good point a few minutes ago how he has shown up now this year. He slimmed down quite a bit. And a year ago, coming off of the major concussions, the story was he's beefed up. And he went injury-free last year, having beefed up. But now he has slimmed down. What do you think the purpose of that is for him?
Well, I think just for him, you know, for his movement skills, as far as if he has to leave the pocket and make some plays unannounced, you know, and extend some plays, I think, you know, that will help him. Because right now, you know, if you don't worry about him taking off and making first downs with his feet. Not saying he has to be a great runner, but when you think about this, you know, when people play them defensively, it's a hard task in this sense. Do you play zone? Do you double cover receivers? You know, and he's a quarterback that, when you think about, he plays in the pocket. But if he can leave the pocket and extend some plays, that poses a bigger problem for defenses. When you have a quarterback that can move and leave the pocket and make plays with the arsenal of receivers and running backs he has with speed.
Herm Edwards joining us here on Amber and Ian. Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. All right, fine. We'll move off the Dolphins conversation. James is already in my ear. Like, goodness, so much Dolphins. All right, so we'll move along.
You guys are Dolphins Coach. Fans. Are you excited about Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, why not? What's not to be excited about?
It's fine. Yeah, it's good. It's a nice little piece. I don't think it's, I don't think that he's necessarily the difference maker, but sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's just another guy to cover.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't cover all these guys. How you cover all of them?
That's what I'm saying, Hill, Coach.
Waddle,
I agree.
A-Chain, Mostert. Now you got Odell Beckham. The problem with Odell Beckham, as you guys know, is he going to be in the quarterback's ear after the first series, you know? Throw me the ball, right?
Yeah, we will certainly see. Speaking of quarterbacks, Coach, the big news today that we got was out of Green Bay was that Jordan Love is a holdout, or I guess more specifically a hold-in, because he's there at training camp, but he is not practicing until he gets a new deal. He's set to only make $10.5 million in base salary this season. What did you make of that story? We don't normally see it at that position, Coach.
No, especially with this guy and the fact that, I don't know where they're stuck at. But they'll get to the number eventually. This is their quarterback. I mean, and I've talked about it last year. I mentioned the Green Bay Packers. Your franchise has done an excellent job. And you maybe go down in the next, say, next 40 years to 50 years, it said basically you only draft the three quarterbacks.
Right.
And it was Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now Love. I mean, that's pretty good. Some teams do that in a year. They have five or six quarterbacks to play. These guys, their franchise, they know how to pick quarterbacks. And look, he's the guy, and they know it. So I don't worry about this stuff. I mean, they'll figure it out. They'll get him his money, and he's going to be as long as he can stay healthy. He's got a 10-year run for sure.
Coach, is it not strange to you at all that, he looked fantastic last year, no. Jordan Love, but also the reality of it was he was fantastic in eight games, games. And now, he's holding out. Is that strange to you?
Well, I don't know if it's strange. I think he's looking at all these other quarterbacks, and because that's the position now. It seems like the quarterbacks and receivers are all getting paid. And he's sitting here going, look, I want to get paid for my trajectory right now is headed in the right direction. I am the quarterback of the future. You can say what you want. I mean, 23 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions over the final 10 games. Last time I checked, he only played 17. So he's looking at that and going, that's pretty good. And I'm going to sit here and kind of agree with him. That is pretty good. And you had a chance to beat San Francisco. Right? I mean, you should have beat San Francisco in the playoffs. You had a chance.
Yeah,
think about that. On the road. That's pretty good. Here again, they're in the same division the Detroit Lions are now, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it loves postseason numbers. I mean, they were good. I mean, we're talking about a first-year quarterback, though he's been in the league since 2020. Yeah. It's easy to forget that. Speaking of quarterbacks, Coach, we do our rank-em series here at ESPN Radio. Today, we are going to end up ranking our top five quarterbacks in the league. Who is the second-best quarterback in the National Football League, according to Herm Edwards, right now?
Ooh, the second-best?
Well, unless you want to make him the first-best and knock down Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Unless you want to give us content here. I mean, we'll welcome it.
We get it. No, I'm going to say, this is hard for me. This is really hard.
Put you on the spot, Coach.
Amber asked very tough questions, Coach.
I got a little bit of man crush on Josh Allen, but my brain tells me it's Joe Burrow. Okay. I'll go with Joe Burrow.
All right, I'm not giving you mine yet, Amber. We'll hold off, and then I'll give you mine.
I go, Joe Burrow.
All right.
No. Josh Allen is—he's hovering. Josh Allen's hovering. He's hovering.
I mean, the Joe Burrow conversation is a tough one because obviously of the injury last season and what we saw from Cincinnati. But a lot of people are still going to end up having Joe Burrow right there, right behind Patrick Mahomes. You got that belief that he'll be able to bounce back to it, and it'll be a very different season this season for the Bengals. Herm Edwards. ESPN NFL analyst. Coach, it's good to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Good catching up, Coach.
Okay, get ready, Dolphins. Let's go. I want to see the track meet this year.
So do we, Coach. So do we. Trust me. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. We're going to get to that list. Our top five quarterbacks in the NFL. That is next right here on ESPN Radio.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod at checkout.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Is this your
jam?
Quite
the swerve musically. I don't know. What is this? This is like a little Dolly Parton. This sounds like Miranda Lambert. I don't know who this is, to be honest with you.
It's the one and only Miranda Lambert from Twisters, because I'm now obsessed with the soundtrack. I told you guys ahead of time.
Wow, I guess Twisters. I totally guessed right on that. I'm proud of myself for realizing that was Miranda Lambert. But no, I'm not familiar with this song, but
it's fine.
I'd mess with it.
It's called I Ain't in Kansas Anymore, because obviously you're giving
Tornado, Wizard of Oz. Okay, I see. I know. I understand.
So that is what the new Twister is about, is just the same thing that like the Sandra Bullock Twister was about.
Okay, Sandra Bullock was in neither
ago?
Twister movie, first of all.
Are you
She's
sure?
never been in a movie with a tornado, Sandra Bullock.
I don't know
never.
About that. Is that true?
Never. If by Sandra Bullock you mean Helen Hunt, yes.
I do.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. So we're talking
close
about the
enough.
Same Twister
close
30 years.
Person.
Close enough. All
Sandra
right,
Bullock flavor. Was with the
those
bus.
90s actress.
She was with a bus.
Speed.
Helen Hunt.
Yes, I remember
tornado.
Well.
Yeah.
Got
Twisters
it.
And
okay.
buses are fast. She was close.
Well, they're all out running stuff, and yeah, it's suspenseful. It's all in the same category. So this is the same thing that Helen Hunt did 30 years ago. This is like the remake of. I didn't know this thing existed.
It's a sequel.
Until it's a sequel?
It's a sequel.
It's an unrelated sequel, right?
What? How is that a thing? How can you have an unrelated sequel?
Basically.
So it's not related to the first one because those people dodged the Twister 30 years ago. So yeah, I guess a sequel would be a little bit difficult.
No. So basically, it's the daughter of the two main characters, or at least one of the main characters. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't even know that.
I haven't seen the first one, so I don't know if they end up in a relationship or whatever.
Because you weren't even alive when the first one came out.
I'm also terrified of thunderstorms, so I can't watch the movie. It scares me. But she is trying to do science-y stuff, and then some stuff happens, and she goes back to science, and they're trying to stop tornadoes, and then there's a whole
gang. Well, and then she ran into that Glenn Powell, and she's
going
to go anywhere with him. I mean, you see him, he's so handsome.
Star.
You know, come on.
So, it's all about YouTube stars versus science versus tornadoes. There you
okay,
go.
Wait,
no spoilers for Zaslow.
The premise of this movie is that the daughter of these people that narrowly escaped a tornado 30 years ago is now chasing tornadoes, or tornadoes are chasing her. Like, we're in the same situation our parents were in 30 years ago.
I think she's been like,
she's
been like pulled back into this situation.
Yes,
right?
Something happens at the beginning of the movie, then she doesn't like tornadoes anymore.
It's very tough. Just like Michael Corleone, he thought he was out. They pulled me back in.
But with a Twister, it might have literally pulled him in.
But like. I feel like this is like an avoidable situation if your parents almost got taken out by a tornado. Like, maybe we just live somewhere else. That
totally avoidable. Totally
she
avoidable.
She does move to
if
New York and goes back to Oklahoma.
But
so
totally avoidable.
To get out of it.
If you see a tornado, go somewhere else. Totally avoidable.
Well, that's not necessarily avoidable, although there are tornado basements. And I don't know. I lived through a tornado once in Indianapolis. Did I ever tell you that story?
You live to tell about
really,
it.
Really, really, really terrifying.
You and Sandra Bullock.
I am here.
Amazing.
All right, so let's get to our ESPN Radio Rankum series. Each and every day here at ESPN Radio, across the ESPN Radio shows, we are ranking all things related to the NFL as we gear up for NFL season today. Top five quarterbacks.
Top off-season editions. Barkley high steps it. 92-yard touchdown run.
To the top five home field advantages.
How about them Cowboys?
And everything in between. This is ESPN Radio's NFL Rank'em. The top five quarterbacks. Number one.
So you'll notice that we're starting with number one here. That's a little weird, although I don't think it's as weird as Jonathan Zaslow thinks it is. Zaslow filling in tonight for Ian here on Amber and Ian.
You are the queen of this.
I used to on our local show. There was a time or two. I went from one to five. It got a little confusing. The point is, typically when we rank stuff, we go to five to one to build up the suspense. There ain't no suspense here at number one, Zaslow, so that would be a boring way to do this list. In fact, when I was putting together my top five quarterbacks, it got progressively harder the deeper I went. So five was actually the hardest position for me to determine who was going to be the fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
Like
there's no controversy
here. Who gets the last spot? Yeah, okay, I dig it.
Yeah,
I dig it.
There's no controversy here at number one. That's why we have to start with number one, because otherwise... There's no... Okay, James. Pipe down over there. But I mean, that's the reality.
Say his name.
Patrick Mahomes.
Number one. Uh-huh.
Listen, your favorite team has won back-to-back Super Bowls. You don't need to play like the victim card every show, all right? You're in a pretty good spot.
Every single show, this guy. You've won 3 in 5 years, James. He's 28 years old, and
he's a prohibitive favorite again this year.
Remember when that Zinno guy said Josh Allen was the best quarterback in the NFL?
That was funny when he said, but he was giving us the content, man. That's what I was hoping somebody was going to do today. Let's go out on a limb and give us 3 days of content because they didn't take Patrick Mahomes. But it would be lunacy if I didn't. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Patrick Mahomes is obviously the best quarterback. He's the one that we feel most confident in. Even during a lull last season when the Kansas City Chiefs were quite boring during a pretty long period in the regular season, Patrick Mahomes was obviously still out there doing Patrick Mahomes things. And then it's the postseason for Patrick Mahomes. And then it's everybody else. So whatever. That's number one. Let's move along to something interesting.
Number two.
So my number two might actually be a little bit more interesting to people because I put James Steele's second favorite quarterback in the world, Josh Allen, at number two on my list.
Oh, okay. Herm Edwards had a very hard time answering this question.
Josh Allen is one of those quarterbacks. It's like the Brett Favre experience, right? Where he's can be unbelievable and phenomenal and ridiculous in some of the throws. And with Josh Allen, you're talking about also the movement outside of the pocket and the way that he just, I mean, the way that, frankly, the contact that he'll make. I mean, the way that he lays into everything. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. And that's saying a lot because I'm a Dolphins fan and I hate the Buffalo Bills. But the reality is that dude is electric. Now, the reason that it reminds me of the Brett Favre experience a bit, Zaslow, is because he also is the one to make the boneheaded mistakes.
That's right.
So you get high risk, high reward with Josh Allen. But on the risk part is where you get the interceptions, 18 interceptions again this past season. That's the knock on him. But we're still talking about a quarterback with the older 4,300 passing yards, 29 passing touchdowns. He is electric when he's out there. They still won the division over our Miami Dolphins. I still think Josh Allen, we're about to find out what it looks like without Stephon Diggs there for him. But I still think Josh Allen, talent-wise, is the second best quarterback in the National Football League.
Number three.
Third on my list is Lamar Jackson. Now, I don't know if there's a ton of controversy here. I feel like Lamar, most people would have Lamar at second on this list. Another MVP for Lamar this past season. And he's just 27 years old. I think it's easy to forget that about Lamar Jackson. It's going to look phenomenal again this season. Now he's got some help in the backfield. It'll be interesting to see what that looks like. I mean, what else is there to say about Lamar? He's a two-time MVP and a dude's 27. Like,
John Harbaugh thinks there's a lot more to say. All right, he's very upset.
Well, that's true. We
got to
get into that today. Yeah, John Harbaugh thinks he's going to be the greatest quarterback that ever lived, because that's always good when you, by the way, when you go down that path with your guy, you really, no pressure, bud.
Yeah.
Just go out there and be the greatest. We'll get into that. But yes, Lamar Jackson, I think most people would have him as top three quarterback at this point. Moving along.
Number four.
Joe Burrow comes in as my fourth best quarterback. Now, here's the deal. Joe Burrow, Zaslow, could easily move up to number two on this list again for me. And if you had asked me before last season, he probably was. I don't remember what we did for the Rank'em series last season, but I'm sure I probably had him number two on my list last season. The problem is, it's just coming off of that season. I've been interested to see that most people have not docked him at all for last season. But there is an actual durability story here with Joe Burrow that I don't feel like people talk about. And I don't know if that's me feeling like, because I'm a Dolphins fan and everyone wants to throw it in there with Tua, and I don't understand out of that same draft how nobody's doing that with Joe Burrow, when Joe Burrow has been far more oft injured in his NFL career than Tua Tagovailoa has been.
True. Yep.
So I don't know if that's why it extra bothers me here with Joe Burrow. The reality is, we all know Joe Burrow is phenomenal when he's healthy, but he's not second on my list because, exactly, case in point, last season,
you're docking him.
We know that healthy is a problem. And at some point, if you can't stay healthy in a season, then you can't possibly be the best quarterback in the NFL.
All right.
Number five.
Finish again, strong. I said this was probably the hardest one for me to determine here.
It's very controversial.
But I gave my number five, very controversial. I gave my number five to Justin Herbert.
Wow.
Now, the reason that's controversial is because Justin Herbert has one bleep.
Wow.
But the numbers that he puts up, I'm realizing that this list sucks as a Dolphins fan.
Win a playoff game?
I mean, Joe Burrow,
Just AFC quarterback after AFC quarterback.
And the guy's out of the same draft class. Like, I don't know what I'm doing there. But the reality is that Justin Herbert, with the numbers that he puts up, 20 passing touchdowns last season, 7 interceptions, and we know with Justin Herbert that he has had an absolute mess in terms of a coaching staff there in Los Angeles. For him to have still put up the historic numbers that he's put up, I still got to give him the nod as a top five, Zaz, even if he hasn't done the winning.
Just to recap for everybody out there, she got a bunch of AFC quarterbacks on this list. Tua Tagovailoa is missing. And a few minutes ago, she also gave you reasons why the Dolphins are not going to win the Super Bowl. Just making sure we're keeping track at home.
Who's the NFC quarterback you're putting on this list?
Justin Herbert.
Just for you. And Josh Allen nomination. Just for you, James. Just to make you
only
so happy.
One good pick.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about that Lamar Jackson quote from John Harbaugh. That's next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
Day one, Oos.
It's filling in tonight for Ian Fitzsimmons here on Amber and Ian. You can find that nonsense at Zaslow Show. You can find me as well, keeping it professional, at Amber W Sports. So
we're eating. What's wrong?
Speaking of professional, I mean, that was the most hype I've ever seen all three of you get. James, Rachel, Zaz, everybody working on this show tonight. I mean, they were just hype in the Zoom a few minutes ago. But speaking of hype, maybe nobody more hype about his quarterback than John Harbaugh, because we got the sound from Harbaugh about his quarterback today. He setting the bar real low, Zaslow. He's tempering expectations for the MVP quarterback, because that's what you do as you head into a new season. Yeah. He doesn't want to overinflate it too much.
It's very similar to what Joel Embiid did with Team USA a couple days ago. Real similar.
Here is what John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, said about his vision for his quarterback this season.
And I believe the Ravens, and we've always had a vision for Lamar Jackson. It started with Lamar's vision and his mom's vision when he said he was going to be a quarterback. He was going to be a quarterback in high school. He's going to be a quarterback in college. He's going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. The vision for Lamar Jackson, and it's a vision, it's something you see it like it's already happened. You can see it like it's already been done. The victory has already been won when you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League.
The greatest quarterback to ever play in the history of the National Football League. Move over Tom Brady. Move over Patrick Mahomes. Move over Johnny Unitas. Move over Aaron Rodgers. Whoever else you want to put on that list. It's going to be Lamar Jackson, just setting the bar again, tempering expectations as we head into another season. Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback, Zaslow, but I don't know if that's where you want to go.
He's a great quarterback. John, everybody knows your quarterback is great. You know, this narrative that you're throwing out there that you think that he gets too much criticism, I don't know what you're talking about, John. Everybody thinks that Lamar Jackson is great. But here's the thing. How about before we're anointing him that by the end of his career, he's going to be the greatest quarterback that ever played? Can we win more than a playoff game in a single season?
Also play well while doing it, by the way?
He was terrible in the game they got eliminated last year. Terrible. Not bad. He was terrible. All right. Can we win more than a playoff game in a single season? I get it. He's got two MVP awards in his first 6 years in the league. He is a really great player. Amber, it's a regular season award. All right.
I know.
Very clearly, it's a regular season award. Can we talk about greatest quarterback ever? Maybe after. Can we appear in a Super Bowl? Or at least can we win a couple of postseason games in the same season? It's not that big of an ask.
Now, of course, it's not fair to put that all on Lamar when it comes to the lack of success of the Ravens in the postseason. But like I said, Lamar has not played well in the postseason.
He was terrible.
Even when you look at him individually, he has been a significant part of the problem for Baltimore in the postseason. I had Lamar when we just did our quarterback rank'em series and we just had our top five quarterbacks. I have Lamar third on my list. Like, the man's a multi-time MVP at 27 years old. I'm not taking anything away from what Lamar Jackson has accomplished, but there's a few steps before we get to greatest to have ever done it, and he's not on that trajectory. The reason that we have the conversation about Patrick Mahomes is because Patrick Mahomes already has three, Zaslow, and he's got plenty of time because he's 28 years old. And that's the reality if he ends up anywhere near the Tom Brady plan in terms of longevity. The clock hasn't even started ticking for Lamar Jackson because we can't even get to a Super Bowl. Nevertheless, perform very well in a postseason and believe that he's going to be the reason that they can win a Super Bowl. So let's get through a couple steps here before we even start having, and we'll win a couple rings, and then maybe we can have the conversation about whether he could be anywhere near the greatest to ever do it. But right now, as great as he is, he's nowhere near the GOAT conversation.
I just don't understand this kick that John Harbaugh is on, where he's talking about there's too much criticism surrounding Lamar Jackson. For one, I don't know that I hear all of this criticism that he's referencing. And number two, if I'm missing it, maybe that's on me. I think it's probably pretty fair to hold a guy who you think can wind up when his career's over, the greatest quarterback of all time, I think it's pretty fair to hold him up to a pretty high standard if he hasn't reached it just yet.
There was a lot of unfair criticism about Lamar Jackson for a
lot of years. Well, coming into the draft, there was for sure.
Well, and also in the first years in the league. I'll give John that. Even after a 2019 MVP, there was still people questioning, could he throw the football? So there was a lot of that surrounding Lamar Jackson. But at this point in 2024, I tend to agree with you. Like, at this point, another MVP last season, I don't hear anybody having...
Great.
Yeah, I don't hear anybody having those conversations anymore about Lamar. I'm not suggesting that they did not exist and that they did not exist for far too long. But I also am suggesting they kind of don't now. I don't hear any of that now. Now, can we have a viable conversation about whether he's a postseason quarterback and he lives up to the hype in the postseason? But that's an actual legitimate conversation, because all you have to do is pull what he's done in the postseason and you can see that there's some problems there until he actually does it. Now, most of us believe he can do it, and it's just a matter of him going out there and at some point proving it, that he can do it. But it doesn't mean that we have to pretend like he has done it yet. He hasn't done it yet. And he would need to be on that path and be on that path and be on that path a few times before he ends up being anywhere near the GOAT conversation. What also I thought was funny about that bite from John, though, was Zaslow, that he said that this is the Baltimore Ravens vision for Lamar Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay, so the vision from the Ravens for Lamar is to be the greatest to have ever played the game, but how? Like, it took y'all 2 years to pay that man.
Well, yeah, right,
like,
right.
You thought he was going to be the greatest.
Yeah, yeah. If you rewind to last year, I didn't hear John Harbaugh saying all of that. It'd be really weird if you have a holdout situation, which got a little bit contentious at times, and you believe that he's going to be the greatest. You know, it started back when he decided to play high school. That was the Ravens' vision started then.
That was
at the
same
time as Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was in high school down here in South Florida, and he wanted to be the greatest ever. And the Ravens were like, you know, that's our vision for him too. I hope that he gets to play for us one day. You weren't saying that last year, as you couldn't come up with a contract. If you felt he was going to be the greatest of all time at some point, I feel like you probably wound up locking him up pretty quick if that were the case.
Right. Well, and the year before, when we were having that same conversation, by the way, about the contract. So they really drug this thing out for a quarterback that they thought was going to end up being easily the greatest quarterback to have ever played the game. You know,
I'm just not hearing all this criticism that he apparently, especially going into this, he just came off another MVP season. Two MVPs in his first 6 years in the league? Like, what are we talking about here? I'm not hearing the criticism. And if he's not actually making it up, then he's got rabbit ears, John Harbaugh. You probably need to stay off the social media a little bit if you're actually perking up over any little thing that somebody is saying on Twitter about Lamar Jackson, because anyone with any kind of credibility is not speaking anything negative about him.
Now, in fairness, I think that the reporter had asked John Harbaugh, set up the question and asked him about the criticism surrounding Lamar Jackson, which, again, I don't know
what criticism.
I haven't heard any this offseason. And again, there was plenty of it early in Lamar Jackson's career, and I'm not discounting that. But at this point in that man's young career, he has won a unanimous MVP and another MVP by a vote of 49-50. And that dude is 27 years old. This point, I don't know who's criticizing Lamar Jackson. He's great. But now he's got to win rings, or at least start competing for rings and do more significant winning in the postseason. And he's got to be part of the reason that they do that winning in the postseason.
I'll tell you what, though, those Harbaughs between John and Jim now being back in the NFL as well. I mean, the both of them, they can talk and have the time. I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, just
but
like,
it's great
I
for us.
I don't understand what they're saying. They're making all kinds of analogies and metaphors. I don't know.
It's content,
these
baby.
Words coming out of your mouth, I don't understand them.
Keep it coming, Harbaugh family. I'm here for it. Coming up next year on Amber and Ian, we're going to get back to the Jordan Love story. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneylines. All from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want, but it was an OTA schedule. That's how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a minicamp when it was really two OTA days.
It's not a big deal. Okay. This is who he is. And you know it when you sign on and he's your quarterback. You want Aaron Rodgers to be healthy. And every player on that team, every fan wants Aaron Rodgers to play more than four plays this year.
So you know what's really comforting is that if they don't make the playoffs, he can just say, well, the media said we didn't make the playoffs. We actually did.
Aaron Rodgers made some headlines today because, well, he's Aaron Rodgers, and that's his favorite thing to do. But also because he decided to try to blame the media and say that he didn't actually miss mandatory minicamp. That was just labels, Zaslow.
Just a
that's
label.
All that was. It's just a label. You
what know, is what, a label anyway?
What is minicamp? What is time? You know, it's all labels, this construct of time. You learn that when you're in Egypt doing ayahuasca. That is the voice of Jonathan Zaslow. He is filling in tonight for Ian here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So that's the old quarterback there in Green Bay. The new quarterback there in Green Bay is also making some headlines. He is officially a hold in, as Jordan Love has made it clear that he is not practicing with the Green Bay Packers until he gets paid. So let's head to Wisconsin. Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Talsh on ESPN Milwaukee, kind enough to give us some of his time. And Jason, thanks so much for joining us. Were you surprised? We don't normally see this at the quarterback position. So were you surprised that Jordan Love is putting his foot down and saying, no, pay me?
Not in the least, Amber. I'm actually, not to sound like his like much, much, much older brother, but I'm really proud of him. I think you, when we're talking about a guy who's on the cusp of playing this season on an $11 million one-year deal, and he's looking at a contract that will be north of $200 million, and who knows how much will be guaranteed, he has to look out for himself. And what I thought was great is that all of his teammates are 100% behind him. Sean Clifford, their backup quarterback, we were talking to him at his locker today, and I asked him, did Jordan give you a heads up on this? And he said, yeah, Jordan told me Saturday night, Sunday morning. And here's what's great about what Jordan Love is doing. So Sean Clifford knows that he's going to be running the number one offense today. He got to the stadium today at 7 a.m., walks into the locker room, goes to dump his stuff in his locker, looks a few stalls down, and there's Jordan Love's Nike backpack. Jordan Love was already there, meeting with LaFleur, getting ready to go to all the meetings, watching practice later in the day. So while it is a hold-in, as Sean Clifford told us, it's not like he's off in California doing his own thing. He is with this team. He's in all the meetings. He's in all the walkthroughs. He's just not risking life and limb by taking part in practice.
Jason, the fact that he's there, though, doesn't that signal that they're probably, like, right at the finish line of getting this deal done?
I think they both hope so. Now, remember, he's not on his rookie contract, and so he signed that half measure of a fifth-year contract when they didn't give him the fifth-year option. Technically, according to the CBA, if he's not there at all, they can fine him $40,000 a day. And I think he is a really good leader. Now, I'm a little biased because I covered every snap of Aaron Rodgers' career here. I did a radio show with him for 4 years. He wasn't quite making the same headlines as he has in the last couple of years when we were doing that. But I think that his leadership style compared to Aaron's is appreciably different. Like, he doesn't throw his hands up in frustration. He doesn't get after guys the same way. And I'm not saying it's a better leadership style, but it's definitely different. And this is consistent with Jordan's style that, hey, I do have to do this for me, but at the same time, I'm going to make sure I'm here. I don't know how close they are. I know Adam Schefter said earlier today that he thinks it'll be done before the end of the week. And Adam knows a heck of a lot more than I do.
Jason Wilde from ESPN Milwaukee joining us here on Amber and Ian. Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. I mean, what power do the Green Bay Packers really have in this situation? I understand this isn't like a Dak situation where Jordan has a no-trade clause and a no-franchise tag and all that stuff. But the reality is, he's their guy. Everyone knows he's their guy. He overperformed with the one-year deal. And it seems like to me, Jason, that this is the situation Green Bay put itself in. I understand why they did, why they didn't want to give him a longer-term extension before last season. But the risk that you were running is, in fact, this, that he was then going to go out and prove himself and then some. And then he was going to get a whole lot more expensive.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right, Amber. And look, here's the thing. This is a unicorn situation, right? Because if we're being honest, after seven games, when they were 2-5 and Jordan was completing 57% of his passes, it looked like that half measure of a contract was the right thing to do, right? I mean, it looked like I remember having conversations with fans who were asking me, hey, if they finish with the worst record, do you think they would draft Caleb Williams? Think about that. That was the conversation in October and November. And now is Jordan Love going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? So I think that factors into why they're in the situation they are. And I asked Brian Gutekunst this morning because they know he's their guy and they know they want him to be their guy. At the same time, he does not have the same level of track record as other quarterbacks who have gotten paid. You can say that you like Jordan Love more than Jared Goff. But at this point in his career, Jared Goff has accomplished more than Jordan Love has. And so I asked Goody that question, and he said, look, this is not an issue. He is our franchise quarterback. We know he's our guy. It's not like we have to decide that. But we want to put a good team around him, and we want to protect the organization. And so I think what they are trying to do, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, is that they're probably offering him less guaranteed money than Jordan and his agents want, because they want to protect themselves if, for some reason, and none of us think it was, but if for some reason the second half of the season was an aberration, they don't want to be locked into lots and lots and lots of guaranteed money with a quarterback who has turned out to be not as good as they thought.
Jason, I want to ask you about the previous quarterback. Like you said, you obviously know Aaron Rodgers well. You did shows with him from his time there in Green Bay. What For someone who's on the outside looking in like myself, it feels like over the last couple of years, we're seeing a completely different personality than what we saw when he was in Green Bay most of the time. Am I off base, like, or has he always been this guy?
No, I mean, he's always been he's really intelligent. Like, I understand that there are folks now that make wisecracks and whatever else, but there is no denying, like, I always thought Brett Favre was the smartest player I ever covered. He liked to pretend like he was, like Mike Holmgren would say, he liked to pretend like he was from the Hee-Haw gang. But he's a really smart guy. Aaron's even smarter. And so, I don't know, so maybe he's sometimes too smart for his own good. I'm not here to be the judge of that. But there has been a shift in how he kind of has handled things publicly in recent years. It is different. But look, I don't know about you guys. There's part of me, as I watch things unfold in New York, where I'm like, okay, I'm kind of enjoying the fact that Jordan's not quite as attention-grabbing and headline-grabbing. At the same time, I think Aaron Rodgers, when he's motivated, and he is supremely motivated after last year, that is a scary proposition. And I think anybody that might be rolling their eyes at him, he has been bet against since he was transferring high schools, and he showed up at his new high school, and they asked him what he could bring to the school, and he said, I'll make your sports teams better. And then he saved the letter from Purdue that told him, good luck at your attempt at a college football career. So when this guy's motivated, look out. And I don't have any doubt that he is as motivated as he's ever been.
He better be. Otherwise, this whole tenure in New York will be just an absolute mess. But we are here for it from a content perspective, no matter which direction it ends up going. That's the reality of the situation. Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Talsh on ESPN Milwaukee. Jason, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Jason.
It.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Take care. Be good.
It's funny because Wilde said that he did a radio show with Aaron Rodgers for 4 years, but he wasn't in the headlines nearly as much. He kept a lower profile. I feel like if I'm Wilde, I would have been like, hey, buddy, where was this, though? You know, like if from a content and ratings perspective, it is always a good thing, even if he's not as likable anymore, Zaslo.
Do you think they root for him in Milwaukee, the Green Bay area? Do you think they're hoping that he does well with the Jets?
I think that was the initial plan. I think that would have been the initial plan had things just kind of gone to New York and seamless, right? Because he was their guy. He gave them so much. And then also because they have their next guy. So I think if you're Green Bay, there's not really a reason to be salty. Like Green Bay moved on from Aaron. Aaron didn't move on from Green Bay, right?
Right.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we will stick with the Jordan Love conversation. We'll give you our own takes. That's next right here on ESPN Radio.